was his mother's heart? Or would this female be considered his surrogate mother? He could not be sure, could not sort it out. Not then, not there. For there was only the impulse, the urge to struggle and twist until he was free. The walls worked around him, nudging him, twisting him, pushing him, bidding him to find his escape. The heartbeat grew more intense, louder and faster, louder and faster. He heard the calls of the outside world, a cry of pain, a plea from a deeper voice. "Don't you go!" The flesh walls pressed in on him, squeezing him, urging him. He flailed and worked furiously, recognizing this as the moment of his birth and knowing instinctively and reflexively that he had to get out. The heartbeat intensified. Another scream sounded from afar, followed by more frantic pleas and cries. "Ka-thump! Ka-thump!" The muscles pressed, squeezing him more tightly. "Ka-thump! Ka-thump!" He could sense that it was too tight, too intense, the cries too desperate. "Ka-thump! Ka-thump!" Another cry. Something was amiss, he sensed. Silence. Darkness. The flesh walls did not contort around him. He reached and clawed, unable to draw breath. He tried to squirm and fight, but he could not. He got one arm up high, over his head. He felt the bite of a blade, but he could not cry out, and his arm slid back before him, a coppery taste filling the watery tomb around him. But then it was opened, peeling apart before him at the edge of a sliding knife, and he was pulled free, hoisted from his womb, his tomb, and roughly spun around and thumped hard upon his back. He sputtered and gagged, then coughed and cried. He could not help but cry, terrified, confused. In that jumbled moment, he didn't know, didn't understand, that his new mother was dead. He felt the bugs crawling over him, but could not coordinate his little arms enough to swat at them. An annoyance, he told himself repeatedly through the days and dark nights, for these were merely bedbugs and cockroaches and the like, the same insects he had suffered in Kalimport. In truth, the insects were the least troubling of the surroundings the baby Regis found. He couldn't move much. Even his head was too heavy for him to swivel it around while laying on his back. But he had noted enough of the ramshackle abode to realize that his new family, which seemed to be comprised of only himself and his father, was perfectly destitute. This wasn't even a house, not even a shack, but merely a piling of sticks, a lean-to in a decrepit part of some dirty city. A wet nurse tended to his needs, but only arrived sparingly, twice a day by his count, leaving him to lie in his own waste, leaving his belly to growl with hunger, leaving the bugs to crawl around him. He could see the sky above through the openings in the hastily piled boards, and noted that it was almost always gray. Or perhaps that was a trick of his young eyes, still trying to find some focus and clarity. But it did rain quite often, he knew, the water dripping in upon him. If he had been wearing clothes, they would always have been wet. He lay there one morning, drizzle coating him so that his skin glistened in the diffused daylight, trying hard to get his hand to slap a particularly annoying gnat aside, when a loud crash alerted him that he was not alone. His father came up beside him, towering over him as he lay in his makeshift crib, which was no more than a piece of old wood with beams piled along its sides to prevent him from rolling off. Regis studied the man carefully, his dirty face, his missing teeth, his glassy eyes and scraggly hair. The years had broken this one. Though he was not very old, the baby who was not a baby realized. He had seen this before so many times, on the streets of Kalimport in his first youth, some century and a half removed. The constant struggle for basic needs, the helplessness, with no way to escape and no place to escape to. It was all there, etched indelibly on the face of this halfling standing over him, in lines of sadness and helpless frustration. Surprisingly strong hands reached down to grab Regis, and he was easily hoisted from his bed. "Here's to hoping you're your mother's son," the halfling said, bringing Regis against his shoulder and moving swiftly out of the house. Regis got his first view of the city then, and it was a large place with rows of shacks and shanties stacked before the high-walled lines of more respectable houses. One hill far off sported a castle. His father turned onto a boardwalk, leading downward from their position, and rambled along for many, many steps, through turns and down stairs, along some more declines. Few buildings were to be seen around the raised planks, and those were merely ramshackle and simple things. Soon there were birds all around them, everywhere, flying and diving and squawking noisily, and it took Regis some time to recognize that these were water birds, mostly, and indeed, it wasn't until this halfling he presumed to be his father turned down yet another long and declining way that Regis came to understand this boardwalk as a long wharf, and this city a port, though strangely, a port built far from the water's edge. And what a grand ocean it was, he noted at one turn. Catching a glimpse of seemingly endless waves, he thought of Luskin or Baldur's Gate, Waterdeep or Kalimport. But this city wasn't any of those. Still, they were traveling west, he knew from the sun in the sky, and so he figured this must be the Sword Coast. He didn't smell any salt in the air, though. They moved down to the shore, a small beach tucked between a variety of smaller wharves and boardwalks. Many boats bobbed in the waters around them. A human couple threw an oft-repaired net out into the surf. Another halfling dug for shellfish in the sand at water's edge. His father splashed into the water, up to his waist. "Breathe deep, runt," he said. And to Regis's shock, he flipped Regis around from his shoulder and plunged him under the water. The baby squirmed and thrashed for all he was worth, for his very life. Futilely, of course, for this tiny, uncoordinated little muscled form could not begin to counter the strength in the elder halfling's hands. Reflexively, Regis held his breath, but he could not for long, and the bubbles came forth from his lips. He tried to hold out, fought to keep his mouth shut. His father was drowning him. All of the dreams that had carried him out of Iruladun flashed through his thoughts then. He had imagined the companions of the hall rejoined, and this time, he had sworn, he would not be the tag-along, the helpless soul hiding in the back of the battle. No, he would become an equal in the coming trials, and would fight bravely to save Drizzt from the darkness Catti Bree had hinted of, from the clutches of Lady Lolth, perhaps. But now he wouldn't. His little mouth opened, and the sea rushed in. He tried not to swallow, not to gasp, but alas, he could not resist, as he could not break free of his father's iron grip. So he would find his final reward, as surely as if he had gone with Wulfgar into the pond. Before he had even been given a chance to prove his worth,